T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
None of those guys. It's Seth Dunlap. Alongside me across the table is Scott Alexander in his LSU purple today. You're looking, Scott. I like that. How are you, man?
I was up in Baton Rouge, so I thought I'd wear a little purple today. Actually, I had no idea. It's a clean shirt.
Yeah. What's
going on, man?
You know what? I'm glad and excited to talk sports with you. Here we go.
I mean, we used to do this quite a bit. It's been a while.
We did.
I don't think we've ever gone 4 hours together. We've gone 3.
Right.
So let's have some fun.
That's right. We're trying to do it. And yes, we definitely have shirts on that you would not describe as nondescript. You have the purple. I have this. I'm like, it's half Hawaiian shirt. I don't even know how you'd describe this. This is something Mark Menard must like, Mark, right? This is right up your alley.
I'm a big fan of that. It's a good look for you, man.
Yeah, it's like a lemon shirt, I guess you'd call it.
It's Hawaii with lemons on it, and some are full and some are half cut. They're beautiful with some leaves as well.
There you go.
And I'm drinking it on a Palmer for the first time in a long time. I had a lemonade and I had a tea, and I married them together because I have 4 hours to drink this thing.
Okay.
So I have lemon in it as well.
Now, is it an Arnold Palmer because of the British Open that's going on right now?
We'll go with that. Okay. I woke up, brought a tea to Baton Rouge, and I had lunch in Baton Rouge and had some lemonade or vice versa. And I just said, hey, man, let's just combine them and go upstairs.
I like it. So Scott and I are here with you until 8 o'clock. Christian's off. Bobby's off, although Bobby's going to swing in about 6 minutes to talk Saints training camp. We will talk training camp. Also, the most overhyped storylines for the Saints in the NFL. There are a lot of them. We're going to go over this. And it's our duty to you to, like we did yesterday, tamping down expectations with Joe Burrow. At least I was trying to do that. Tamp down expectations, these overblown expectations for some people in the Saints organization and a lot of guys and teams across the NFL. We'll do that later in this hour. Should be a fun conversation. Next hour, we'll talk a lot of LSU, the SEC football media poll. Mark just told you LSU picked to finish second, but they also in the second in the SEC West. But just 3 votes for LSU to win the conference championship. So the outlook maybe not so bright according to the media for LSU this season. Kyle France will swing on in, chairman of the Louisiana Stadium and Exposition District, to talk all these big events coming to Louisiana and New Orleans. The 2020 College Football Playoff Championship game. You got the Final Four in a couple of years, 2024 Super Bowl, and what's going to happen at that Baby Cakes new stadium, Zephyr Stadium, next year. Hour 3, it's Pelicans. Jake Madison will be here. In hour 4, we'll talk a little British Open with Dave Kamens, host of the Golf Pod. Tiger and Rory failing to make the cut, so I guess the weekend will be a little less intriguing than a lot of people like. Our phone number is 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. And I want to start with this for just a couple of minutes, Scott. Earlier today, Michael Thomas, who certainly is not shy on social media, frankly, he's just not shy, period. We know he's in these contract negotiations with the Saints. Mickey Loomis has said, hey, we're in negotiations. We're going to pay this guy, basically. Sean Payton let it slip that, yeah, they're going to pay this guy, basically. But Michael Thomas, tweeting out, no done deal yet. Here's what he tweeted out, quote, I want every penny that's mine. I don't want a penny more or a penny less, end quotes. And that's, I guess, the attitude he should have, but it sounds like he's not going to take any kind of hometown discount.
Well, he's related to Keyshawn Johnson. There's no way he's taking a hometown discount, and probably he shouldn't as a former agent. I'd say get all you can. On the flip side, you know, as a team guy, you want to be able to save a little money for, you know, building the rest of the roster, because if Drew Brees eventually won't be here by the end of the time that contract's up, you got to know you're going to have to sign some guys. But here's the thing, man. The wide receivers, they're not going to take anything less. I've never heard of one that would do that. I don't know. Julian Edelman, would he even do it? I don't even know. And he's perceived the Super Bowl MVP as one of the best team guys of all time. I say Michael Thomas is a top 3 receiver. And you know what? Like you said, he is confident. If you have Can't Guard Mike as your Twitter before you played a down of football in the NFL, you know you're confident, and he has backed every bit of that up the entire career.
He has. He has backed it up. Let me ask you this, Scott. Are you paying him whatever he wants? And when I mean whatever, I really mean, you know, whatever within reason. $22 million reportedly is what he wants per season.
It's hard, man. Wide receivers, you know, Drew Brees has made a lot of wide receivers good, but Drew Brees won't be here, like I said, throughout that contract. And they don't get Michael Thomas. The guy works just as hard as his talent, and that's a combination you don't really have all the time when you're the best. Sometimes you have the great talent, and you might slack a little bit on the work side, a.k.a. maybe a little bit of Odell Beckham Jr. Not saying he doesn't work hard, but Michael Thomas is definitely considered a workhorse compared to him, and his numbers are the best in NFL history. You got to give this guy his money.
It's a no-win situation, I think, or maybe you could say a win-win situation for the Saints, but if they don't pay him, revolt from the fan base, maybe inside the locker room. If you do pay him, might hamstring your salary cap. That is our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, actually, at WWL.com. Should the Saints give Michael Thomas whatever, in all caps, that he wants? Simple yes or no there, and we'll update you on that poll throughout the show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Cajun Cannon will swing on in. Yeah, get that money, Michael Thomas. It's Sports Talk, Seth Dunlap and Scott Alexander on WWL. Yeah, we're California loving because Bobby Hebert, who's out in California, is going to join us here now. I'm Seth Dunlap. Scott Alexander's in studio. Christian's off. Bobby's off. But Bobby's here. We'll talk Saints training camp and a little Michael Thomas also. Bobby, what's going on, bud? How is the West Coast?
Well, I'm hanging out in Anaheim. You know, it never rains in California. Well, there's not a cloud in the sky. And a summer at Disney World in Florida compared to summer at Disneyland in California is night and day. There's no humidity. I mean, it's like unbelievable. Heard one little kid complain to their parents, "Mom, it's hot today." I'm going to tell that kid, "Hot? You don't know what hot is." But this would be like a great spring or fall day when you want to sit in a cafe and just enjoy people watching, and just if you're in the shade, you can even have a sweater on in the sun, you know, then it can get a little warm, but not really hot. No, unbelievable atmosphere getting to hang out. You know, my two granddaughters, T-Bob's here with Alice, and it's Caitlin's 30th birthday, so we're celebrating that. And then I'm here with Cammy's little girl, Magnolia. So we're having a great time before the real season, I guess, starts, you know, instead of all this OTAs and minicamp with football. With training camp getting going and throughout the NFL. And before you know it, the Hall of Fame game's going to be here. And, hey, everything starts counting for real before you know it. The Saints, so we're going to be looking at that Monday night game against the Texans. And, you know, we're all looking at when the schedule came out with the tough start or the tough teams they're playing. Can they be at least 2-2? And hopefully that'll be the case.
I'm with you, Bobby. And Michael Thomas, I don't know if you saw it earlier today, but it's one of the talks of the Saints fan base in the city today, tweeting out, quote, "I want every penny that's mine. I don't want a penny more or a penny less," end quote, there. And well, it sounds like, and we never expected him to, Bobby, take any kind of hometown discount, but he wants his money, as he should.
Well, yeah, and he's been outstanding both on and off the field. He's been Mr. Consistent. You look at the numbers he's put up, you know, being compared to, as far as numbers-wise, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, as far as catches. And, you know, whenever you're always hovering around 100 yards receiving, the quarterback can trust you. So, now, I don't know what the market, the Saints, I know the Saints would want to pay him, in theory, like a $16 million receiver, but $20 million? That's a lot of money, but that's kind of the going rate. That's the market for him. And I think players like Julio Jones, you know, I think he'll wait and see what Michael Thomas gets. And, you know, the thing is, when you're up a contract and you're considered one of the best, you want to get that best contract. And then, obviously, eventually he's going to get surpassed. But I think that's where Michael Thomas is at. He's going to be rewarded for the future, whether Drew Brees is here or not. But I think even Michael Thomas would really tell you that Drew Brees helped his career explode. And Drew will tell you, like when he had Colston, that Marcus Colston, Michael Thomas can be counted on, and the trust factor's there. So that's going to go a long way, I think. And I said this earlier when this all came about, probably almost a year now, that I think Drew made Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas appreciates that situation. But I think in the future, Michael Thomas can help make whoever that quarterback might be to take Drew Brees' place. I'm not saying turning that quarterback into the Hall of Famer, but definitely be like a security blanket, you know, whether it be Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, or some other guy competing for the future. And I think Michael Thomas is definitely in those plans.
Oh, there we go. Your mic's on now, Scott. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Hey, what's up, Mark? Hey. Am I controlling this, Bobby? What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
No, we didn't want to. Scott, we're shutting him off. I'm just joking. Go ahead, Scott.
All right.
I can't believe, dude, since I moved back in 2012, right before Bounty Gate season, this is our eighth training camp together. We usually spend a lot of time at camp. We usually talk about things we're excited about, but I haven't seen you in the last few weeks.
Right.
What are the things you're most looking forward to in this training camp? And I know the thing you're dreading most is that heat. But other than that, what are you looking forward to?
I was going to tell you one thing I know I'm not looking forward to is the heat. I think it's going to be dog days of summer. Plus, I mind it might be record setting. So just look at all of the heat index what you have in New York City, Washington, D.C., Chicago. What? I'm saying 105 up there. What is it going to be here, 115? No, but, you know, it's amazing. They don't do two-a-days anymore. And then Coach Payton's smart enough. And listen, the bottom line is your team ready to play? Are they winning? Oh, they got to be tough. No, you had two-a-days originally to get in shape. Now you practice one a day. And the heat index around 110. Sorry, the fans even shouldn't be out there if you're in the shade. Sean will even have him inside to get a productive practice. So what I'm looking for is just not necessarily tackling and going down to the ground, but, you know, always look forward at this time to one-on-one pass rush and pass protection. Looking at the center, McCoy, is he going to be the real McCoy? They can count on him from the get-go. Because a lot of times you take for granted the greatness of Max Unger and Ken, whoever it might be, Easton, McCoy, whoever it is. Drew, you know, needs that center where he never needs to worry about the snap. That's automatic. And then get to the point where they're confident enough to make all the calls and help out Drew Brees to set the protection. So I'm looking at definitely the trenches. And I don't know, we all tend to foul the football anyway. The skilled people, DBs versus the receivers. And then before you know it, preseason will be here. You know, what are you going to do? I think it's a good opponent when you look at the Vikings and the competition that's going to come about with them. In preseason, I think going against one of the best AFC teams in the Chargers, that I'll be interested. And they'll be in this weather. They'll be in beautiful training camp weather when they play the Chargers in L.A. and they come practice against them for a few days.
Yeah, indeed. It's Bobby Aber with us, Cajun Cannon, out in Anaheim, California. Final one, Bobby. I don't think we're expecting the Saints ever to go back to the Greenbrier with how it went then and since they've returned. Do you think it benefits, I guess you kind of mentioned it here or alluded to it, benefits the Saints practicing in the heat and humidity, getting them in shape for for the regular season more than it did out in West Virginia?
Well, no, I really think it's irrelevant. If you win, it doesn't matter. If you lose, oh, they're solved. They're at a country club at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. No, I just think the team has been better. The players have been better. They've been practicing right here on Airline Highway. And Coach Payton really likes to mix it up. So, to me, that's not the case in point where you have to stay in New Orleans. And, the team needs to be tougher. We have – you know, see who's tough, who can handle the heat conditions. Well, I don't know. We play in the Superdome. We don't play in Tulane Stadium. We don't play outside. So, yeah, I think that gets overblown. I think it's more in a matter of the individual players. Are they good enough who they're competing against, you know, to win? But it never looks good when you're going off to West Virginia or wherever you go. You got to just win wherever you have training camp. And I think one great thing, it enables the fans by having training camp at home. They get to witness their team. And, you know, they get fans that travel, but you don't get thousands of fans that have that opportunity to watch their team in training camp before the season starts.
It's Bobby Aber. Bobby, get back to your grandkids, okay? You need to be hanging out with them, not with us, all right?
Yeah, listen, I'm hanging out, but the only thing, I tried to get a little rascal scooter because my plantar fascia is acting up. So I'm walking all over. I'm on anti-inflammatories right now, taking some Advil, so I'm hanging with them. We just got off a Small World. We're going to New Orleans Square, going to Pirates of the Caribbean. So we're having a great time. And I'm like a big kid, you know that, especially when I get with them. T-Bob thinks I'm too domineering. He goes like, this is not your kid. This is my kid. So I sometimes put him in his place. He goes, no, I can do. Man. The grandpa takes precedent.
Yeah. Yeah, you're supposed to spoil him, Bobby. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right, exactly.
Bobby, enjoy it. We'll see you next week for camp. But.
All right. Thanks, Ed and Scott.
All right. Bobby Aber, the Cajun Cannon, checking in from Anaheim, Scott.
I mean, how great must it be to be Bobby Aber's grandkid? I mean, seriously, you know he's having fun the entire time. You know, he's going to spend time with them. He's going to act like he's a kid just like them. I wish I was his grandkid right now in California.
Yeah. Who wouldn't want to be his grandkid out in California getting spoiled by the Cajun cannon? Come on.
How about T-Bob, though? He's like, this is my kid, Dad, not yours.
That does sound like T-Bob, a little domineering. That's two very dominant personalities, two alpha personalities, I would say.
No question.
T-Bob and his dad. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinions poll, speaking of Michael Thomas, if you're the Saints, would you give Michael Thomas whatever, in all caps, that he wants? You can cast your vote at WWL.com. And the radio.com app. Quick early look at that poll. 53% saying no, 47% saying yes. If you're on hold, we'll get to your calls in just a little bit. Plus, second half of the hour, we're going to get into the most overhyped and oversold, overblown storylines from the Saints and NFL offseason. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Scott Alexander. Mark Menard's behind the glass. It's Sports Talk on WWL. Right now, we throw it to CBS News. And then Don Ames to our left in the WWL newsroom. And breaking news out of Philadelphia, Darren Sproles has signed back with the Eagles. No reports on exactly the compensation for Darren Sproles. I see Don Ames over there giving a little gosh darn it head bump. That was probably the reaction of a lot of Saints fans who just heard that. Thought maybe he'd find his way into a Saints uniform in training camp, but nope. He will be an Eagle again as they make another push towards expected Super Bowl contention. I'm Seth Dunlap, Scott Alexander alongside Scott. Here's a text at 870-870 from the 504 asking, why sign Thomas to an extension now and not just wait until the end of the season if necessary and tag him?
I mean, that text has a lot of merit. However, you risk a situation with ill will. And what I mean by that, look at the Le'Veon Bell situation. This guy was without question the number one back in the entire NFL. The guy caught passes out of the backfield. He could run the ball. He could shift speeds. He had just great, great, you know, moves. And he was untackable for a long, long time. And then he got tagged a second time. And no one wants to sit out a year. And everybody thinks it's selfish to sit out a year. And it is. But the fact is I'm not saying Michael Thomas would ever sit out. But it could develop some ill will. And that sometimes spills over into locker room and onto the field. And I just say, you're not going to give him whatever he wants. That's what negotiations are about. But you're going to make him one of the three highest paid wide receivers in the game because his salary dictates it. So the fact is you could do that and you can make him play for a very small salary this year and then franchise him where he has to get the average of the top five. But I would not recommend it.
Here's a text from the 504. Love me some Mike, but can you name me one Super Bowl champion with an $18 to $20 million receiver? Sorry, there is none. Well, the contracts have just now ballooned there. There's only one guy making that much money, and that's Odell Beckham. But to your point, I've said it a lot before, there has never been in the salary cap era of the NFL, the highest paid receiver has never won a Super Bowl. It's never happened. The highest paid receiver in the NFL has only made one Super Bowl. That was Julio Jones a couple of seasons ago. But look, precedent, as you know, Scott, is made to be broken.
I mean, there's 32 teams. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's going to happen eventually. There's just not that many Super Bowl champions around, and the salary's literally just ballooned to that in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. Derek and Gonzalez, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
What's up, Derek?
Hey, I just wanted to make a statement. I mean, I don't want to sound ridiculous when I say this, but I think they should give Mike Thomas – you know, what I think he deserves. You know, I'm not saying nothing astronomical because look at this guy's presence on the field, man. He generally bullies any cornerback that they put on him. I mean, look at the way he abused Marcus Peters. If it wouldn't have been for him, we wouldn't have beat the Rams. We wouldn't have had the home field advantage, you know, last year. But I'm not saying, you know, break the bank, but I think Mike deserves a good salary, bro. Because to me, in my opinion, he's the best receiver in Saints history.
And Derek, I think he speaks for the fan base there, Scott. Most fans think exactly what Derek believes there. Don't break the bank, you know, don't overpay him, but within reason, pay him what he wants.
I mean, listen, if you pay him what he wants, you're still talking about 1/7 of your entire salary cap. I mean, that's a lot. And 1/8, whatever it may be. But you're right. I mean, if there's one guy that deserves it, and I said this when we opened the show, because of his work ethic, because what he means to this team on the field, because of his workload, it's the most catches and yards in NFL history for the first 3 years. Those records belong to Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham before this, and now he holds it, and he's only going to get better and better. Granted, his numbers will likely go down without Drew Brees throwing him the football, but you're going to need whatever quarterback you get's not going to be Drew Brees like, and you're going to need a player like him to take the pressure off that quarterback.
Let's go to James in New Orleans on the phone lines. James, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, thanks, guys. Listen, you guys pretty much said everything I want to say. The only thing I have to add to that is, and this is something you also said, there's never been a receiver that led the league in salary and actually won a Super Bowl. So mm-hmm. What's really the goal here? Is the goal to pay Michael Thomas or is the goal to win a Super Bowl? Because in truth, what this really means is somebody we really like, somebody else that we really like that we don't know just yet, we're probably going to cut to fit Michael Thomas' salary.
Yeah, or not re-sign. James, or not re-sign multiple guys down the road. And that's what I have said for the last, 6 months to a year that we've been talking about this. From Michael Thomas's perspective, number one, he should want to get paid what he can get paid. That's obvious.
He
should not take – I'm not advocating for Michael Thomas walking in and saying he should take a pay cut or take less than he can get on the open market. However, from a Saints perspective – in a capped league, I firmly believe this, that paying any wide receiver a tenth or more of your salary cap is just foolish. That's my opinion. I get that the Saints are in a hard spot here, but if Seth Dunlap was made general manager, and God forbid that, the Saints, I would not be paying any receiver. Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Megatron, whoever, Jerry Rice, 10% of your salary cap or more.
And that comment about the Super Bowl champion not having the highest paid receiver, let's be honest. We were all very happy when the Falcons lost the 28-3 lead. But
almost happened.
That almost happened. All right. So Let's just you throw that argument.
Still hasn't happened.
They got to the Super Bowl and were winning by 25. And God bless America that they lost that game.
Yeah.
But you're right. It hadn't happened, but it will.
Yeah. We're going to go to break. 504-260-1870. That's the phone number. Area code 504-260-1870. Text lines 870-870. We'll continue to talk about this and the most overhyped Saints and NFL storylines from the offseason. Oh, there's some doozies. We'll get into that. Here on WWL. Welcome back to the show. Christian's out, Bobby's out, Seth Dunlap, Scott Alexander, and Mark Menard with you until 8 o'clock. Here is a text from the 985. No one wants to say it, but a wide receiver is not worth $15 to $20 million. There are easier ways to replace than offensive linemen, a defensive lineman, or a quarterback. Michael Thomas is a top three wide receiver, but... And this goes on to basically just say lose-lose situation. Lots of comments coming in on that. You're welcome to give us a call, 504-260-1870. You can text us at 870-870. Other thing I want to get into today, and we'll sprinkle this in throughout the rest of the show, the most overhyped NFL and Saints storylines. And every summer and offseason, Scott Alexander, we see, because we crave football 24/7, minor things get overblown in the NFL. For example, the biggest storyline that's overblown in the NFL, in my mind, and I don't even think it's close, is the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah.
The national media wants to talk nothing but Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. I think they'll be good. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, and I don't think it comes close to warranting the hype and the amount of talk that's been directed their way. It's a little nauseating, and it seems like a train wreck waiting to happen with all those big personalities. So my most overhyped storyline in the NFL, and it's not even close, Cleveland Browns.
No, I agree. I agree completely with you on that. Here's the thing. I'm kind of rooting for them because the LSU guy's in there. But here's the fact I'm going to talk about is that they were 1-31. Just – three seasons ago, they were 1-31. They did have a nice comeback, and I do like what they have. I mean, but you're right. They have some combustible personalities. I think the one good thing, though, is Landry and obviously Odell are guys that have known each other since they were in high school, and they played together at LSU, and they had that great year in 2013?
Yeah, 2012, 13, yeah.
13, mm-hmm. And they both got over 1,000 yards. Mettenberger threw 3,000, Jeremy Hill 15. They have a bass, so I think that Odell will be contained there, but you're right. Listen, if you want to bet against Pittsburgh winning that division, and right now they are not the favorites. It is Cleveland. And but Cleveland by a long shot right now. I will take Pittsburgh all day because this is what Pittsburgh craves. You two underrate them, and then they're going to come back, especially since they just missed the playoffs. They felt they should have been in the playoffs. They felt they should have beaten the Saints in that game and probably should have late in the season. I would put all my money on Pittsburgh winning that division.
You know who is my sleeper in that division, and I think in the entire NFC, AFC? The Baltimore Ravens with that defense. That defense that at all three levels is reloaded. Might have the best defense in the league. One of the best defenses. Watch out for Baltimore, man.
Mark Ingram.
Yeah, Mark Ingram.
They got Earl Thomas, solid running back.
Earl the Pearl in the defensive backfield. Yeah, I like it. Okay, overhyped storyline, Scott. Give me one.
Oh, my goodness. Overhyped? Man, I wasn't ready for this, but let me go say a couple things that everybody wants to keep knocking New England down. And when they start, you know, 2-2, they'll do it again. And I remember last year, I didn't stray away from this. I said New England Super Bowl champs, even when they were kind of midway, everybody was cutting them out. Once they made the playoffs, I said, that's my pick. They're going, and they're going to win. And they did. But everybody wants to say Buffalo is going to – this is their year. Buffalo is coming in strong. They're coming. Are you kidding me? New England's like the Braves in the 90s and the early 2000s. They're going to keep winning division championships, and no one is going to challenge them. So I don't know if it's been overhyped, but it seems like I've heard way too much about Buffalo having a chance to win that division.
No, I'm with you there. It happens every year, right? Who's going to beat New England? Nobody. The answer is nobody, and it's going to be nobody until Tom and Bill are gone. All right, Mark Menard behind the glass. Overhyped, overblown NFL or Saints storylines?
You know, I don't know if it's been overhyped in the preseason and the run up to 2019, but I think a player who's going to come back down to earth next season is going to be Patrick Mahomes. And I think I think the main reason is the Chiefs aren't going to get better with losing Kareem Hunt and possibly Tyreek Hill.
You know, probably Tyreek Hill.
Two of their three best players in that team, one of them is no longer there, and the other one probably won't be available for a significant chunk of the season, if not all of it.
Did you hear today? Tyreek Hill, the NFL is not going to suspend Tyreek Hill.
Oh, is that okay. The case?
Oh, really?
That broke earlier today.
I was getting two dental implants, so I missed that.
I get it. A lot of people, it's actually, it might not have been earlier. It might have just been a couple hours ago, right before the show started, but I don't even want to get into the politics or that. Kind of disgusts me a little bit,
But in response to him, it's going to be hard for anyone to repeat 50 touchdowns, 5,097 yards in his first year starting. Yeah. It's like, you know, a good friend, John Brady, once told me, you don't ever want to come out of the gate too strong because they expect it every year. That's why you win a little bit more than you're supposed to, and then you keep gradually winning. Well, he set the bar so high, I don't know how he can repeat that very often. You made a great point. Kareem Hunt was a big factor of that. He's such a weapon. And Tyreek Hill will likely be playing, but still, that was a running back weapon that you don't see every day.
He's Scott Alexander. Mark Menard's behind the glass. We'll continue this when we come back, and you can hop on in. What's your most overblown Saints or NFL storyline? One that's just kind of nauseating because you think it's just ridiculous. 504-260-1870, and our text line is 870-870. It's the last lap. No, it's not. It's Sports Talk. I'm on the last lap, but I'm not on the last lap today. Sports Talk on WWL. Seth Dunlap, Scott Alexander here for Sports Talk until 8 o'clock. We're talking most overhyped NFL and Saints storylines. Here's a text from the 772. Lamar Jackson is going to get exposed for what he really is. A hyped-up, overdrafted college quarterback who simply is managing a team that will be carried, like always, by the defense. Ravens go 7-9, and Lamar is benched by week 9. You heard it here first. Okay, 772. Clapping back at me, saying, Baltimore is my dark horse in the AFC and in the AFC North. We were just talking Lamar Jackson off air, Scott. He's going to get the chance. No more Flacco there. No looking over his shoulder, or I guess in front of him as Flacco started the season as the starter. It will be interesting. John Harbaugh, a little bit on the hot seat in Baltimore. They expect playoffs and more than playoffs, I think, this year.
Golly, that's another Super Bowl champion that is on the hot seat. Yeah. And he is. Their expectations are a little higher. They've been more mediocre than they like to be over there. Never been a super exciting team, but what an efficient franchise they've been over the last several years. Known for defense, back from the Ray Lewis days. They're going to be fun to watch. That division, we just mentioned the other two, Pittsburgh And obviously
Cleveland.
Cleveland and Cincinnati has the new coach for the first time in double-digit years. So that'll be a fun division to keep a watch on.
All right, my overblown Saints storyline, and a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this one, but I believe it. I really believe this has been overblown to the point where we're not going to be talking about it much come midseason. At least that's what I hope and what I think. Wide receiver depth issues. What have we talked about all offseason long? Got to get more wide receivers. Need more talent around Michael Thomas. Well, here's the thing. They get Ted Ginn back. Cameron Meredith looks like he's going to be healthy. Traquan Smith coming into his second year. He showed flashes last year. I believe, and Keith Kirkwood, who's going to be there, I think that they're deep. I think they're a lot deeper than most people even here give them credit for. I don't think that wide receiver depth or talent is going to be an issue this year. I think that's been an overhyped story.
I don't. Right? I think because, obviously, Jared Cook coming in, that takes a lot of pressure off. That means a little more openness with some of these receivers. Traquan Smith, I am not worried about. Listen, he's a rookie last season. Takes some adjustment time. Didn't have a tight end that can separate some defenders away from him. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to shine this year, and I think he probably will be your third receiver, besides, obviously, the running back over there, Kamara. But you're going to have Thomas. You're going to have Jared Cook. And I'm looking at him to be the second receiver for the Saints, getting the most catches at that position.
Mark Menard, give us an overhyped NFL or Saints storyline.
You know, when it comes to the Saints, I don't think you can overhype this team. I've got them as my Super Bowl pick. I've got them winning at least 13 games this year. And I don't know. I don't see an overhyped storyline for the Saints in my personal projections. I think that this team is one that's built to go all the way.
Well, let's cause some controversy then. I think Will Lutz is overhyped.
Oh. No.
Okay. I love Will Lutz.
I was going to say, that's a hot take.
Will Lutz is a guest on the show, and I know that he listens to sports shows. So if you happen to be in town and listening, you're not overhyped.
Will Lutz, call in and tell Scott why he's wrong.
That's great. Seth Dunlap, Scott Alexander here. Coming up next hour, let's talk some college football. Kyle Franch, chairman of the Louisiana Stadium and Exposition District, will join us. We'll talk SEC media poll, LSU picked to finish second in the West.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.